Morning, family.
Morning.
I guess I'm on. The real truth behind Witt is he wanted to spend more time with his grandchildren. Well, when I got the call last night, to be honest with you, I was deep into Star Trek. And I looked at the text, I was like, wow, what are we going to do? So basically what I did, I said a quick prayer. Yeah, there we go. So I said a quick prayer, and I said, man, what can I present in such a short period of time? I said, well, we're studying Philippians anyway, so I might as well use it since my class is in here, so they've already heard Philippians chapter 1, so we'll begin with that. But what we want to talk about is Christian maturity. And Paul's letter is kind of an attaboy letter written decades after he had established the church at Philippi. The church had grown tremendously, had deacons and elders and a lot of saints. And Paul was really happy about their accomplishment and growing in maturity. And so he wrote this letter from a prison. And the reason he wrote this letter is based on a gift that was sent to him by the Philippian church, delivered by Epaphroditus. And so this is the response that Paul had in his particular letter. Paul and Timothy, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. So Paul's an apostle, Timothy is an evangelist. And we're going to try to go through this real fast because we don't have a lot of time. So if you miss anything, ask me and I'll print you a copy off, okay? So Paul's letter, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see two things in this particular letter, grace and peace. Let me get my second set of eyes on here. The blessing is one, even though two words are used to describe it. Grace refers to God's favor, especially in planning and completing man's salvation through Christ. The word grace is code. It's code for all God has done to save us. And this began back up in the book of Genesis after the fall. God set plans in motion to save us through grace. The word peace is code for the blessings of salvation. Salvation is found only in Christ Jesus, through no other man but Christ Jesus. And so these words are code words for Christians. Some of the benefits that flow from being at peace with God becomes as you are under grace. First of all, when we're under grace, there's no guilt, fear, or shame. Freedom to experience joy and confidence. A greater knowledge of God, His will, as well as His purpose for one's life. When we're under grace and peace, we have that confidence. We are fearless, just as Paul was fearless in the Roman jail to continue to share Christ. We are fearless when we are under grace. Grace is unsolemn favor that we get from God, not that we deserve it, not because we're so lovable, but because God loved us, the agape love that He shows us. Grace and peace only comes from God the Father and God the Son. Philippians 1, 3 through 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of my return. The idea behind the blessing is that only God can give man grace and peace, which are spiritual gifts. By joining God, the Father and Lord Jesus, Paul acknowledges and expresses the faith that binds the Philippian church, Timothy, and himself together, and shared belief that Jesus Christ is God. Paul's prayer for the Philippian church is that God would bring them to full Christian maturity for the coming of Christ. This prayer, this blessing expressed, is universal truth applicable to all churches for all time. Grace and peace comes from God the Father and God the Son, and is bestowed on those who believe that God the Father sent God the Son. So this grace and peace and this maturity that Paul is wishing for the Philippian church, it is extended to the church at Antioch. The word of God is extended to every Christian, that we will grow in maturity. And when you grow in maturity, that means you're growing in knowledge, knowledge of the word of Christ. That's the only way to grow in maturity as a Christian, is to know who Christ is. And the only way to know who Christ is to get in his word. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers of grace with me, for God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ. Paul's feeling toward the Philippian church, first of all, he says that he has them in his heart. And when you have someone in your heart, it's just not a simple affection. Paul's prayer life is a reflection of their relationship over a decade, where he has joyfully given thanks to God for this faithful and generous congregation that has carefully followed his teaching. They had grown in size and maturity and shown their gratitude by providing for his needs, the latest example being the gift sent to him through Epaphroditus. The main teaching section of Paul is that prayers for and desires for them in the future, that God would bring them to full Christian maturity, ready for the coming of Christ. What does that look like? First of all, he says he has them in his heart. He has them in his heart. For the Greeks, the heart referred to more than just simple emotions, but include the mind, feelings, and will. In other words, he did not simply feel affection for them. They were part of him in that they were in his thoughts and affected his feelings and decisions. So when he said he has them in his hearts, it affected his feelings, his thought, his very essence. And he just thought about them constantly. Like I said, this was an attaboy, a good job letter to the Philippian church. They were following the teachings of Paul. Second, they are his partners. As Christians, we are all partners in the faith. We're all trying to share Jesus Christ to bring souls to Christ. The Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. And by us being partners in sharing the gospel, we can venture out more than just in this building. Paul says they are his partners. Even though Paul was in jail, they were his partners. They were still sharing the gospel. Thirdly, they share the rewards. Well, what is the reward? The reward is grace and peace. The reward is grace and peace. As we grow in real knowledge, real spiritual knowledge, we develop more grace and peace within us. And we are at peace as we walk with Christ. And we are under grace. Fourth, God knows how he misses them. Remember, Paul's in jail. It's been a decade, but he knows, God knows how he misses them. God, who is the sole witness to his prayer, is the only one other than Paul himself who knows and understands how much he misses direct communication with them. He has been confined in prison for at least 4 years, 2 years at Herod's palace and 2 years in Rome awaiting trial. He has not been with them for nearly a decade and longs to be reunited with them, faithful and kind brethren, in person. His love and longing for them is pure and genuine Christian love without any sinful or worldly element. So Paul longs to be reunited with them. He looks for that fellowship. He looks for that edification that he gets from being in contact with them. And that's something that we should look for as Christians. We should look for that fellowship. That fellowship strengthens, it builds up, it edifies, and it gives us reassurance. And this is what Paul is writing in this particular letter. 9:10. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Knowledge of God's will. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Paul's prayer is that their love grow according to knowledge. Here's an example. When you come in contact with a person and you say, hey, how you doing? And he said, I'm doing fine. What's your name? And y'all swaps names. And then the next day you meet again. And you meet again and you meet again. And you have grown in knowledge about that person. Now, mind you, the knowledge that you gain about that person, it might be good or it might be bad. But you have gained knowledge about that person, so you really know them well now. And this is what Paul wants for them, that their love grow according to knowledge. And that only happens when we're in the Word. The Word is God. When we know the Word, we know God. Knowledge. We must love God and our neighbors as ourselves. Mark 12:30-31. This is God's will. Agape love is based on a decision, not a feeling. We love in response to God's direction, not personal feeling. Agape loves because it knows and obeys God's will, not because the object of love is worthy or desirable. Does that sound like anybody you know, worthy or desirable? God loves us not because we're worthy or desirable, but he loves us because he is God. Love grows as our knowledge increases. As our knowledge increases about God, we understand what his will is for us. We understand what the plan of salvation is, and we can implement that plan in a loving way. Not as a dictator or not with 10 guns loaded, but in a loving, agape-loving way. And this is how we do that. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Faith and hope. Agape understands how to express this love in order to edify the object of love and honor God in doing so. The strong not harming the weaker Christian. And knowledge without love is being empty. So if we have all knowledge, if we have all gifts, but we don't have love, we have nothing. It's all about love. It's all about implementing love. It's all about understanding what God's will is for us. You look at Jesus as he walked to the cross. You look at him in the upper room, even knowing that he would be betrayed and denied. But yet his love still allowed him to wash their feet. His love still allowed him to have a Lord's Supper with them. And his love took him to the cross. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There's a difference when you radiate love wherever you go. It makes a huge difference. And people want to know, how can you do that? Where can I be a part of that? Only in Christ. Our maturity is measured by our love. Paul's prayer, that our love grow according to knowledge, knowledge of God's will. This love prepares one for judgment, and love honors God. The fruit of righteousness in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, and also in Galatians 5:22. We've got to speed this up a little bit. So the lesson is that our maturity in Christ is measured by our love. And our love is measured by our knowledge. It's knowledge of the truth. It's knowledge of the will of God. It's knowledge about salvation. It's knowledge about the shed blood. It's knowledge about the death, burial, and resurrection. It's knowledge about heaven and how we can exemplify that through our life, in every aspect of our life, wherever we go. If we exemplify love and sharing that love and the source of that love, then we bring souls to Christ. We cannot do this without love. And without knowledge, we don't understand what love is. Our maturity is measured by our love. But the goal of our instructions is to love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A good conscience. Sincere faith. The only way we can have that is through peace and grace, or grace and peace. And that's through Christ. That's through our Father God. God has made this so simple. He has given us all the tools that we need to implement his plan of salvation, to demonstrate his love. He set the example going to the cross to demonstrate his love by the way we carry ourselves, by our speech, our conversation, our demeanor. God has given us everything that we need. Cultivating agape love produces spiritual fruit which honors God and assure us salvation. Paul describes a fully mature Christian who has been accurately taught God's word. Love, agape, this person understands the who, how, and why of love. Purity, this person loves is sincere. A clear conscience. He has no doubt about being in Christ and no fear of the past. He knows and obeys truth. Cultivating agape love produces spiritual fruit which honors God and assures us salvation. It all goes back to the source. The source is Jesus Christ. The source is Father God. The plan of salvation has been implemented. Redemption is available. Christ has made it so. So we have to cultivate agape love. Oops. One, two, back. Can I go back? Uh-oh, won't go back. Go back one. Y'all didn't think I was going to sing that, did you? Not going to happen. This application is the same for us today. The goal of preaching and teaching in our congregation is for members to love each other, having an understanding of our faith and maintain a clear conscience. The letter to the Philippians describes the basic method to accomplish this objective. Cultivate agape love in our hearts as Christians. This experience will help us develop other spiritual skills that need building as well. The work of growing in Christ requires that we grow in love. Cultivating love produces spiritual fruit, and spiritual fruit brings us a reward. We honor God and experience greater assurance of our salvation in Christ. Our maturity is measured by our love. And our love is measured by our knowledge. And that knowledge is of the will of God. What his instructions is for us. What the direction he has for us. But we have to engage. If we don't engage, nothing happens. We're just stagnant. Once we engage in the word of God, it'll bring results. I don't care who's preaching the word of God. If they're preaching the word of God, honestly, it'll bring results. Paul was preaching from jail, and it brought results. He influenced the Praetorian Guard. He influenced the House of Caesar. It'll bring results. We must cultivate agape love in every aspect of our Christian walk. By this, we honor God.